Hi, welcome to Virtual Newsmakers. I'm Debbie Ellickson, and I'm here with my co-host, Cynthia Seymour. And our special guest today is Vilma Betancourt, and she is in Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. I call her an Evernote dynamo. I met her on a blab a few months ago and was blown away by her talk on Evernote and the platform, and she actually got me involved in the platform a lot more. So I'm using it way more because of her. She runs an organization called Women's Rule, W-R-U-L-E, and she's all about empowering women and minorities in business. And I will get her to explain a little more about herself. Take it away, Vilma.
Hi, thank you for having me on your show today. Yes, my focus is helping women and minorities start their businesses and grow their businesses through business certification and grow revenue to the government and to large corporations who have set-aside programs specifically for women minority-owned businesses. And there's a lot of business out there. They're looking for us, and we need to help them find us.
That's terrific. So how did you, I guess, Cynthia, I'll put this to you, how you want to start this. Do you want, Evernote is an app. I mean, some of us have it downloaded and never really dabbled in it too much. But can you just maybe explain to the viewers what it is and how it operates?
Did you ask Cynthia or me?
Oh, I'll ask you. Yeah. Oh. So if you would answer that, I think Cynthia lost her audio.
Okay, it is an app, and it's available for iOS and for Droids. I have a Droid, and they have web clippers for the mobile format. And how that works is, like, if you're on your phone and you're reading an article and you want to save it into your Evernote, you have that little web clipper that clips the article into your Evernote. On your desktop, it works the same way. If you're on the internet and you find an article you like, you can clip it directly into your Evernote, and on your desktop, you can tell it which notebook you can set it up in. So it's free. It's easily downloadable. I have the paid because I am a heavy-duty user. I have over 30,000 notes in my Evernote notebooks. But I think it's $50 a year, and it's very worth it. I share my notebooks with other individuals based on the subject of the notebook and based on the research or the information that they're looking for, whether it's for social media or technology or laws affecting businesses or women. So that's how I use it. To me, it's where I keep all of my research, which is a lot. Obviously, I have over 30,000 notes.
Wow. So you're saying it's only $50 US a year for the paid version?
Yeah, I think that's what I pay. About, wow. $50 a year. Wow. Yep. And then I've never met my limit for the monthly uploading. And that's saying a lot because, like I said, I'm a heavy-duty user, and I have never met my limit. So it gives you a lot of options.
So with, you have, there's so much to talk about, and I know you've talked about this on other shows, but how would somebody get started? Like, what are some of the mechanics of getting started in this app? Whether you use it as an app on a mobile, and it does cross all your devices. So how do you kind of get started in it, and can you kind of walk us through the mechanics a little bit so that even just using an example for a business for, say, one meeting?
Okay. You go to Evernote.com and you download the app if it didn't come with your device. Some devices, I think, it automatically comes with. Go to Evernote.com, you download the app, you set up your email address, and you set up you know, your account with them. And this is what I tell people so that they can keep in their mind clear how, what's the best way to use it. Pretend that the notebook is a filing cabinet. And then the tags are the file folders. I'll give you an example. I use it with my NABO Charlotte Public Policy Committee. It's a group of 8 women who are in this committee, and now we're doing a lot of research. So I have my notebook that I have shared with each individual. So they have total access to this folder. They know what the latest changes are. They have the most recent information. It's on, you know, live. I don't know what you call it, but it syncs. It syncs, my syncs continuously. So we all have the same information at the same time. We have reports. We have articles. We have notes from our meetings. You can even record your meetings in there. It has the option where you can record your meeting and then save it as a note. And then all I have to do is tag it. If I tag it as a meeting, then if we want to look for the recordings of the meetings, all they have to do is look up the tags and the meeting and how I labeled it, whatever I named it. Let's say June 4th meeting. They can search it that way. Also, it has a built-in camera. If you want to take pictures of notes, if you want to take pictures of the team as they're meeting and save it directly into that notebook, you can do that as well. And the camera works really well. Some people do that with their receipts. They take pictures of their receipts when they go out to dinner or other business expenses. They take a picture of it and they save it directly into a specific folder that they share with their bookkeeper or with their accountant. It has many uses. It depends, you know, on what works for you and what you're using it for. If you're writing a book and you're doing research, you can put it all into one notebook. And based on that research, tag it on the whatever specific research you're doing. For instance, I'm doing research on the laws in North Carolina and Charlotte. I tag those documents, and then my committee members know how to look for it by tag. So we're all learning how to use it together. And, you know, and this is what I've done. I'll show you. I have this huge binder of documents for my committee. I do all the research. I have taken Evernote and my notebook, and I've done a table of contents. Every document, we have many tabs. Every tab document is in my Evernote. I typed up a table of contents detailing each document that I have here. Link on the table of contents, all of this within Evernote. For a particular document, all they have to do within that notebook, go to my table of contents and press the link on that table of contents, and it'll take them directly to the document, the report, the article, the notes, the recorded meeting that they're looking for. So it's taken me a lot of time to put it together, but it's going to save in the long run so much time, because we all have access to the same information. And the reason why I did that table of contents with the links is to save them time as well. When we do our monthly meetings, if we're discussing a particular report and they have on their phone the Evernote notebook open and they have the table of contents on their phone, they can go press that link, and on their phone they can go to the report or the article or whatever document we're discussing.
Wow.
So there's so many brilliant ways that you can use it, especially, and if you're working with teams, it's just a great way to save time and money. And because I have the paid version, they don't have to get the paid version, because I'm uploading and I'm the one saving all the information and tagging all the information. If they find something that they feel should be in that notebook, they email me the link, and then I upload it to Evernote.
Wow.
So that, and my focus is that we all have the same information, that we all get educated on whatever topic we're discussing, because I don't want any excuses. I don't want someone later on telling me, oh, I didn't get involved because I didn't know. No, you could have known had you looked there. So it's like with my kids, I don't give them the option for excuses. If they mess up, well, they mess up because they didn't do what they were supposed to. But it's keeping everybody synced with the information that we need, up to date, whatever's going on, you know, with that particular law or subject matter we're discussing.
Wow. So when the freed version, which is all that I have, and I've been using some of the tips I learned from you from before, the table of contents, you just blew my mind on that one. With the freed version, what is your limit on the freed version?
I don't remember. I have no idea what it is, because it's been so many years since I've been paying for the paid version. But I would have already gone over that free limit, right? Because I do. But the good thing is that I just want everyone to know that if someone is sharing a notebook with them and that someone has a paid version, let's say you and I start working on a research on the film industry in the United States, and I start the notebook because I have the paid version, and I share it with you, and I allow you to make changes to my notebook, which means that you can upload documents to my notebook. That is not held against you. Hmm. That goes towards my usage.
Okay.
That's probably not good for me to say, because everyone's going to miss out on some business, but that's how it works. But with my public policy committee at NABO, I want to control everything, only because many of them don't know how to use it. And I'm afraid that if they happen to delete something or change something, then I won't know, you know, how to go back and undo it. So they just send me the links, and they're fine with that.
Right.
They're fine with me doing the entering. But, you know, that's something good to know, that if you have a paid version and you're sharing with someone who doesn't, whatever they upload, if you give them the permission to do so, is not used against their version. It's used against your paid version, as long as they put it into your notebook.
Hmm. So I'm thinking of Google Docs too, because Cynthia and I have used that for our virtual newsmaker show more in the past, when we were getting it started and we were creating documents to at that time, because Google Hangouts was so new, we had to have kind of a tutorial on how to come into the show and
right.
what to do and how to download the toolboxes and all that stuff. So we would create a Google Doc for that, and we would, whoever created the document would share it with the other. So I think it works the same way in Google Docs, but the extra added aspects that you're talking about with Evernote, with the camera, with the audio, I'm not sure if those are available in the Google Docs, that's pretty awesome.
Well, we also use Google Docs, and I'm not very good at that, but one of my committee members, Carolina Aponte, is a pro at it. So she has set us up on Google Docs, and then she also set us up on the Google spreadsheet, where she put the calendars, so that we all know when the monthly meetings are, when there are meetings that are taking place within the region that we should know about. And that's also about sharing. So Google has a great source also for sharing. And so we're using both, because they, Google Docs and the Google spreadsheets that you can't do, or that I don't know how to do in Evernote. So we also use that. But as far as my binder, which I take with me everywhere I go when I go to my public policy events, that absolutely has to be Evernote, because of the reports, the newspaper articles that I keep in there, the recordings of the meetings, pictures I've taken at the events here in Charlotte, government events. And I take pictures and I upload them there. So we all have the pictures that we need.
When is this?
And I just try to keep everything together in there so that we all know what's going on.
One of the things that I noticed, there's an app or a site that I use to kind of share things around, IFTTT, If you Google IFTTT, it's if this, then that. So you create recipes to, so if you post on YouTube or somewhere, that link will automatically share on another site. And I use that for a few places. And I actually have started doing that since meeting you. I started doing that with Evernote. So my tweets go to Evernote, even though you can back up your tweets on, you know, from directly from Twitter. I still have my tweets going into Evernote. Well, that's probably going to use up my space fast. And I also have my Facebook, personal Facebook posts. They also go into Evernote. And
good for you.
That was kind of a cool discovery that I found when the last time I was in creating recipes, that I could do that on Evernote. And I don't put everything in there, but
there's so much you can do. Like, for instance, you can do presentations in there as well. Steve Dotto has a YouTube video where he talks about that. He's used it to put together training courses. And so when he updates that particular training course, everyone that he's shared that notebook with gets the update. There also, when you register for subscriptions, if you don't want it to go into your email, you can put your Evernote email on it and direct it to go into a particular notebook. Let's say you have one notebook for just subscriptions, you know, for newsletters online. You can have it sent directly there, and that'll keep your email uncluttered.
So you have an Evernote
email? So there are many,
email?
Many ways. Yes. Evernote gives you an email.
Wow.
If you go into your settings, it should be in there. It's usually pretty long, and I think there's a way to shorten it. I've never done it because I just copy and paste it. But there's definitely an Evernote email. So you can send, and you can even set up with using IFTTT. Yep. You can set it up so certain of your emails go into a particular notebook in Evernote, so you can keep track of it. Let's say we were doing a project on the movie industry. If you're getting emails from other organizations about the same issue, you can do an IFTTT and or go into your email and set it up so that when you get those particular emails, it goes directly into your Evernote notebook. And that way everybody knows what's going on.
Wow. That is a really good tip. I think that's that's a good takeaway, right, you know, that I got already from this show, that
there's just so much you can do. And I don't know everything about it. Because I do so much research, I am focused on my research. And I try to tag everything so that when I'm searching for something, I can find it. And that's another great thing, like with the, when I upload PDFs, it'll search through the PDF if I'm looking for a particular word. And then it comes up when you do your search.
Wow.
And searching is great. It has a great search capability. But, you know, there are many, many writers who write their books.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I was busy this week launching a few of, dusting off and revamping some of my sports books. And I was just thinking while you were talking earlier in the show, especially when you mentioned the table of contents, that it would be a great tool to write your book into. You can separate the chapters quite easily under the topic of the book, and if you can put a table of contents where you can easily jump into finding, it's the findability of your files in Evernote. I think in the early stages, that's taken me some getting used to, is how to search. Although I think the platform has evolved a bit. It's changed a bit since it was first launched.
It has. There was just an update, I think, this past week. So I have to look at, see how it's, you know, the view has changed. But yeah. I think it keeps getting better every time. It keeps getting better.
Yeah, the view is better because I think, it hasn't been that long, because I think a couple of years ago when I was looking in it, to me it was kind of disconcerting to see all the on the one column.
I had the same
everything. I
problem.
Found it very difficult to find stuff, and that actually kept me from using it, really, because it was too overwhelming. I didn't want to have to search, but now it seems easier to find things because you see the folders, and then you can use the search tag. It just is cleaner. It seems a lot easier to access.
Yes, and it's funny you said that because I used to use OneNote, and I remember 1 year I bought the 365 package just so that I could use the OneNote because they started using it where it would sync online, whereas before it didn't. And then and I kept resisting using Evernote because I was so stuck on OneNote, and I was going to make OneNote work no matter what. Well, then I started seeing how much I could see in Evernote right in front of me, whereas in OneNote, I had to go from notebook to notebook. I couldn't see at all. And then I just finally said, okay, I have to stop resisting this. And I stopped I don't use OneNote anymore. I transferred my notes from OneNote into Evernote.
It's funny you should mention OneNote. I started using it. I think I started using it for 1 day, and then I realized, oh, I can get it on my desktop. I can get it on this device, but I can't get it on my laptop. So you know what? If I can't get it on all my devices, I think I'll go back to Evernote.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't.
Yeah. No, and that's a great thing. You can get it in it like.
Yeah, all my devices.
Everything.
Doesn't matter whether you have Mac, Android. It's there. Even the age of your device doesn't matter because if you can't access it through an app, you can access it through the browser.
Right. Correct. No, I have it on the iPad Mini. I have it on my husband's computer as well because I set up a folder for him. I've set up folders for my daughter who's in college. I've made her use it as well. She doesn't, you know, she resists as well. But every time she's looking for a certain bill or information on homework, it's there. So I'm turning her around on that. But she was resisting. But she sees, I mean, because it's so easy. Like when she's looking for information, oh, Mom, I need this. I tell her, look in Evernote. Do a search.
That's funny.
Yeah, because it saves you time. I put stuff in there, you know, that has to do with her school. It's information. There it is. I have the Evernote scanner, and I scan the documents. You know, I had mentioned before, personal documents. I have a folder that is for personal items, and I scan everything in there. And with those, you have the option when you set up a new Evernote notebook, you have the option for it to be available online, but available only on that one computer you're setting it up in. Mm. So if you have a computer at home that you use only, you know, at home for personal matters, you can set up your notebook to be just on that computer, and they won't be accessed anywhere else.
Wow.
So for very personal private documents, you can do that. And then I back up my Evernote into my Dropbox. To Evernote, you know, I have 30,000 notes in there. I don't want to lose them. So I back it up to my Dropbox, and then I back up my Dropbox to an external hard drive.
So when you do, so you obviously have the paid version of Dropbox too then.
Yes. Yes.
I can't see you letting all I have easily came close to the edge on my Dropbox.
No, I came very quickly.
Yeah.
And also I'm on the board of several nonprofits. And when I was doing the bookkeeping for one of the nonprofits, I was helping with the bookkeeping. I would put all the bank statements and everything in there so that all the board members, and I shared the Dropbox folder with all the board members so that they could have access to it. And I also have a folder for them, a notebook for them in my Evernote that I also share with them. You know, all the nonprofit, the paperwork to set it up, the acceptance letter from the IRS, because sometimes you need to get your hands on that right away. And if you're in a meeting and you're asking for money and somebody's saying, okay, you know, let me see the letter, you have it right there. You can print it right there.
Huh.
Reasons why, and in so many different ways that you can use Evernote.
Yeah. That's pretty amazing. I mean, I've been using Google Docs because I've been pretty much tethered to the internet since my desktop crashed. I pretty much have to back all my photographs mm-hmm. either on an external drive, unless you pay for the Google. But I have several Google accounts, so I share. If it's, for instance, I have a sports email, so I'll put some sports pictures in that Google and then share it with my other accounts. But I mean, the Evernote and the Dropbox simplify your life, but photographs take up a lot of
yes,
space.
Yes, they do.
And if you take a lot of photographs, it's nice to have them available. If you're the nice thing about the Google, when I take a screenshot or when I download something on my mobile devices, they're Android. Mm-hmm. They automatically seem to be accessible through Google Photos, which means, you know, if you're in Instagram, you can post it easily.
Right.
Or find it on your Google across the board.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But definitely Evernote is another spot to back up a whole lot of stuff. I don't know, like I guess you'd have to take a look at their settings to see whether or not how much space. Documents are one thing, but photographs, they eat up a lot of space. So they must have different levels of pro, maybe.
I've always done the premium, I think it's called, and I paid I think it was like $50 last summer, and it has been, I think, about $50 a year. Hopefully they won't raise it, because then, you know, it's a problem. But I mean, at $50, it's reasonable. And then on top of that, I pay for Dropbox because, you know, I have so many documents.
That is reasonable, really. I mean, I think that's probably the most reasonable, one of the most reasonable costs of an app like that. You know, the professional version there is. I mean, most of them charge by the month.
Right, right. Yep. But it's worth the expense because the many uses are make it worth it. Now I've missed the whole thing.
No, that's okay. I did not ask that question that you asked at the beginning that you wanted to ask with regards to the collaborate, like with finding people, or what was
No, just that today we work in many, many different locations. Mm-hmm. And what happens is we don't necessarily need to be in an office anymore. Especially with cloud solutions like we talked about last week, of being able to work together as a team. It used to be in the past where you had to email information back and forth, or so you'd work back and forth on a project, and sometimes the updates didn't match up, and you know, there just wasn't any synchronicity in working. And the documents had to be stored on your box and then sent to somebody else's box,
right,
and then back to your box. And so on a lot of levels, we're living in an age where we can work together as virtual teams. And you were speaking about your work with Nabo earlier, and I was wondering how you use Evernote to coordinate your team within Nabo.
Okay, I had said before, I have this humongous notebook here where I store the Nabo bylaws, the Nabo regulations for their articles. Anything that has to do with Nabo is in here.
Uh-huh.
I'm also a member of Women Impacting Public Policy, and they are an incredible organization who partners with Nabo, and they primarily focus on federal laws that affect the federal procurement program affecting mm-hmm. women-owned businesses. And in this notebook, I have WIP's blueprint, economic blueprint for women-owned businesses. So I also have the NABO's focus on public policy. I went to their website, I printed all that out. Then I uploaded it to my NABO public policy Evernote binder. All the blueprints that I have for WIP as well, and for the economic development of women-owned businesses, are also in there. And I've created the table of contents, which is the exact copy of this binder in the exact same order. So when I'm talking, or when we're meeting with the Public Policy Committee, when we're meeting and we're discussing issues, we're putting together our own blueprint for this coming year on the laws that we're going to focus on for the city of Charlotte and the state of North Carolina, and some in South Carolina as well, because we represent both South and North Carolina. It's all in Evernote. And when they're looking for a specific item, they go into my table of contents, they click on the link, because I have linked in that table of contents all the reports and the articles that I have within the notebook, so that they don't have to be searching through the entire notebook.
Yeah. So you can link within the notebook to other pieces of information that might be relevant to what they're looking for in that moment.
And the reason why I did that is to save everybody time, because I have such a humongous amount of paperwork here within my NABO public policy notebook, and I know how to find it easily because I'm the one who created it, but the other seven women don't, and I don't expect them to. But I wanted to make it so easy for them to just click on that table of contents, whatever you're looking for, and then that takes them to the report or the article or the notes. And like I said earlier, we can also record our meetings within Evernote. We can take pictures within Evernote.
So I imagine you have a little bit of pushback sometimes with when you're dealing with committees like this, and when you're dealing particularly with the government entities, that not everybody is a digital native and has embraced that aspect of life right now. I mean, I know that there are some people who barely use their email still today.
True.
So you must have some pushback from, you know, maybe not a lot of people, but how do you address the people who just
who resist,
don't want to use it, that resist?
Who resist?
Yeah, they resist.
Sounds like you've got that handled, but...
Well, this is the thing, and every time I'm dealing with something new and people who are not accustomed to the digital world, I pretend that I'm talking to one of my kids when they were little, because now they're smarter than me, so let's make that clear. My kids are much smarter than I am. I make it very basic, and I let them know, first of all, it's taken me a humongous amount of time, of my personal time, to put this notebook together for them. I want them to learn. So we're all going to learn together. And if they're going to be on the committee, they need to, and I made that clear from the beginning, they need to know how to use Evernote. They need to know how to get to the documents that we're discussing or whatever law we're looking into. Each one of them has a role, and based on their role, they're going to be doing their own research, which they sent to me, and I upload. So I always, you know, I always tell them these apps are here to make our lives easier. And now we can be at different locations, eight different locations, because there's eight of us. But we all have access to the exact same information at the exact same time, because when I do something on my laptop, when I upload something on my laptop, or I upload an article from my phone, my Samsung, it goes straight. They get that information also when they're synced. So I always tell them, I know it's hard to adjust, but if they want to be on the team, they have to learn how to use Evernote, because it's all about us being educated and knowing what's going on. And I take this very seriously, being in the Public Policy Committee, and I learned this from WIP, that if you're going to be on a committee that, you know, has a lot to do with the laws that affect women and minorities, you need to know those laws. So if they're going to be on my committee, they need to know these things. And how are they going to know these things? By going into Evernote and looking at all the research that I've already done. So, I have had some resistance, but this is the way it is. If you want to be on my team, we all have to be on the same team and on the same page. And that's the only way to do it. I wanted to find a solution so that we all had the same information. And Evernote was a solution for me.
Wow.
So So are that you're uploading hard documents? Are you doing the documents, say, within Microsoft Word or whatever, and then those documents go into Evernote? Is that how that works? Are you creating the documents within Evernote?
Well, actually, I do both, but the reports, I save an enormous amount of reports, like the reports that American Express puts out every year on women-owned businesses, and they do this every year. I go to the website where that report is, and it'll either let me put it directly into Evernote, in which case I clip the PDF, and the PDF goes into my Evernote directly. Or if the only version is for you to download it, I download it to my computer, then I set up a new note in Evernote, and I attach that report into my new note, and then I tag it. You know, as research for women by year, all of that. So you have two options. Either you upload it directly from the website, and that depends on the website itself. Or, you know, some websites will open a new page and make you download it into your computer. Then I do that, and I upload the report.
So this is basically a virtual binder is what you're doing.
Yes, it is.
You're
this is
a virtual binder. Yeah.
This is my real binder with all the tabs. And then my table of contents that I created is exactly like this, with tabs, subtabs, and subtabs to those subtabs. Because I break things down so much that, I mean, I know it's too much for some people, but that's how I have to visualize it in my head. It has to be by subdirectory so that I can get to the subject matter immediately.
And one thing we haven't talked about yet, and I was bound and determined to find it, is on Chrome, in Chrome. I'm sure they have it in the other browser too. There's a Chrome extension for Evernote where you can start, like you can pin things from.
I'm looking at it right now, the web clipper.
Yeah, web clipper.
I have it.
And then, so if you're on anywhere on the web, whether it's a photograph, whether it's a link, you can pin it into your Evernote directly, and then put it in whatever notebook. But I find that when you're pinning a article or something online, there's a circle of computer anyway, the circle of the elephant. If you don't click that elephant before it finishes spooling, then the box won't open up for you to put it in the specific notebook and tag it. It'll just go into whatever the default is.
I don't know what version I have of Chrome, but mine, I do put it in a notebook. Sometimes I'm lazy and I just let it go directly into the inbox, and then I go into my Evernote inbox, and then I put it, you know, when I have time, then I put it in whatever notebook it belongs and I tag it.
Right.
So depending on if I'm in a hurry and I just want to clip something, you can also do screenshots. I do a lot of screenshots. Like when I see websites that I love their design, I do a screenshot of it and I put it in my website notebook so that later on when I'm meeting with the website designer, I can say, oh, I like this from this one, and you can. It lets you highlight. It lets you, within the screenshot, it lets you make changes. Sketch lets you do that. Sketch is a works with Evernote. So there's just so many things you can do with it. It's unbelievable.
Wow.
Nice.
You almost don't need any other app.
No, not really. I mean, and it works. It works with a lot of different apps. It has. They've done it so it talks to different apps to make it easier for you to use it. You know, because everyone has a different style of using Evernote.
Wow.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever done sort of a little getting started with Evernote's class for dummies kind of thing?
No, but I should, and I should make my committee look at it.
You know what? I think Evernote should sponsor it.
They should. Because, it works with us and with my Navajo Public Policy Committee, because we deal with issues that are so intricate and detailed.
Mm-hmm.
I found that Evernote is the one that we can use because I can highlight within it. Even if I have a PDF, I can highlight within the PDF, you know, and I can write notes, and then everyone else knows what we're thinking because we type notes about the whatever law we're looking at or whatever matter we're approaching. So, and that's a great thing that everyone can cooperate and everyone has a voice. And it's all there. It's all recorded in Evernote.
Nice.
What I like about the app is that it doesn't discriminate on the age of your browser, the age of your device. You can access it no matter whether you're hopefully... I mean, I don't have my Windows XP hooked online because I don't want to put everybody at risk. But,
right.
but I'm sure that if I did, I can access Evernote from that. So, whether it's your... this old Samsung Chromebook I'm broadcasting from, or whether it's from my brand new Samsung tablet, you can get it. It crosses every device regardless of age.
It does. It's very friendly.
Nice.
Very friendly. Mm-hmm.
Well, we end every show with a challenge of the week. And it's usually the first thing that you could think of that comes to your mind. So it can be very random. And we ask our guest speakers to just answer the first question, the first answer that comes to their mind. And it doesn't have to be even necessarily entirely related to this conversation. But if you could challenge people to do one thing this week that would make a difference in their lives and other people's lives, what would that be?
I would say find a underserved child that you can help, mm-hmm. and that you can show them how smart they are and how they can change their lives using their own power.
Wow.
And I do that with, I'm on the board of Pride Entrepreneur Education Program in Charlotte, PEEP.org, and we just did that a couple weeks ago. We had a competition at a local high school, and we had 9 teams of kids that went through a 10-week program. They were freshmen in high school, and
nice.
The kids were unbelievable, and when they started, they had no idea how to control finances or how to handle finances. By the time that they finished, most of them, I can tell you, they were unbelievable. And the presentations were incredible. So you can change a kid's life if you show them that they have the power within themselves.
Nice.
To make their lives better. So that's, I focus on kids.
Oh, I love that. That's actually really awesome. This is it's the most fun part of our show, actually, because everyone's answers are so unique and different and meaningful, really, really uh-huh. meaningful. So thank you so much for that. There is a gentleman named David Bianchi, B-I-A-N-C-H-I, and he wrote a book called Blue Chip Kids, and it's even got cartoons, but it's great for kids 8 to 88. And it teaches the fundamentals of finance in a really fun way. And it's published by Wiley Books. I highly recommend Blue Chip Kids. And he is a terrific speaker. And I wish the world would know how kids can take charge. I wish I had known at an early age how to take charge really, really early on of my financial health. So
we all
feel that way.
It's funny when you find out about it in your 40s.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh yeah. I gotta do something about this. So,
yeah.
Anyway, it'd be much better if I had known about it when I was 14.
Well, you know, we're starting young. We're starting programs in the elementary school here in Charlotte.
That's
because
terrific.
It's important. We need to reach these kids before really they get to high school and their minds already made up that they're not gonna succeed.
Yeah.
You need to start young so that you teach them, yes, you can succeed, but you have to make it happen. And it's all about education, about teaching them.
There is a fun little, maybe not for young kids, but there's a fun app called Robinhood, where they
uh-huh.
can start to invest in the stock market. And it's fun. You can even take little investments, like, you know, some of the stocks are $4 or $5, but then you can see them grow or you can see them go down, and you can, you know, if you put $25 in or something, you could really play without losing a whole lot. But it's a fun way for kids to learn about investments.
Sounds like another show, Cynthia.
Yeah, you could do it on the phone.
No, that sounds like another show, too.
It could be. I'm like hooked.
That's a great idea.
I'm always on my Robin Hood now. I'm on Robin Hood more than Facebook at this point.
That's funny.
All right. Thank you so much. This was really terrific. And I look forward to going back and reviewing what I missed out on while I was experiencing technical difficulties.
Well, thank you for having me on this show, and I enjoyed sharing my knowledge.
Thank you so much, and definitely get in touch with, or let us figure out how to get in touch with James Mitchell. We'd love to have him on as well.
Oh, Vilma, also before we close out, how can the audience get a hold of you what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yeah, let's say somebody wants to learn how to use Evernote. Would you be open to teaching?
Or learn more about what you do.
I can certainly do that. I'm on Twitter at Vilma Betancourt.
Okay.
And my email is Vilma, which is V-I-L-M-A, at womenrule.com. And that's women, womenwrule.com.
Nice.
Excellent.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I'm going to close out. So thank you all for joining us on Virtual Newsmakers, and we look forward to seeing you all again next week. See you later.
Thank you.